Back again. Thank you so much, guys. Now I'm muted again. Here we go. Now we should be good. Okay. Great to be back. Let's continue our series of fascinating shilas in regard to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Nerayim. So I just came across an interesting shila, which is very appropriate for, unfortunately, the continued pandemic we find ourselves in, and that's the question of borrowing someone else's shofar without permission. Now, why is that any interesting point? Because now Corona is unfortunately widespread, so maybe the owner of that shofar would be concerned that you're spreading the virus to him by using a shofar. So let's talk about this this sugya a little bit. And it's very appropriate to me, actually, because in our shul, we have to have a number of extra minyanim to help accommodate the proper social distancing. So I'm blowing shofar for the first time this year. So I'm very particular now about who uses my shofar, whose shofar I'm using. So it's something meaningful for me, and hopefully it's meaningful for you. But I think there's also something special, a message we could learn from this as well. So let's start, let's share the marmokomos together. And we'll start off with the general topic of borrowing someone's shofar, and then borrowing other mitzvahs from a person. There is a Rambam in Hilchos Shofar. You look inside number one, let me make it a little bit bigger for you guys. There we go. The Rambam in Hilchos Shofar Vesukkah. He writes in Perek Aleph, I'll read just the bold. Shofar ha-guzzle, shetaka bo yatza. If you steal a shofar, and you blow the shofar, you're actually yotze. She'ein ha-mitzvah ela b'shmias kol. Because the mitzvah is about the kol, the sound that we hear. You can't steal sound. Sound is something that's intangible. There's nothing to steal. I could steal the shofar. I violate an iser, but the mitzvah is in hearing the kol shofar. So granted, I get an iser of gzela, which is not a good thing anytime, and certainly not good in Rosh Hashanah, but l'maisa, I get a check mark for my hearing of shofar. Now, the Ravid in number two, he seems to say that there actually is gzela. But even though there's gzela, you still actually are yotze the mitzvah. He writes in number two here, afilu yebo din gezel. Even if you can say there's gzela by the shofar, yom trua yelachem, the pasuk says. It should be a yom trua mikomakom. However you hear the trua, however you hear the tkiya, the shoram trua, you're yotze, even if there might be gezel. So there's a debate whether a person violates the iser gzela, but certainly everyone agrees you do get the mitzvah of shofar even though it went about through gzela. And it's very clearly paskin this way in the Shulchan Aruch. He writes in number three, Hagozel shofar v'takaba, you steal the shofar and you blow it, yatza afilu lo nisiyasho habay mimenu, even though the owner was never miyayish, she never gave up hope, still you're yotzei the mitzvah. So that's just a halacha, hopefully nobody's stealing here. So the Mishnah Berurah comments in number four now on this very halacha. Kasu acharonim, demuter litol shofar shechaveiro b'li yidiyaso. You are allowed to take your friend's shofar, even though he doesn't know about it, ulitkobo, and to blow from the shofar. Why? Denichale le'inish le'meved ba'mitzvah b'mamono. People actually like when their property is used for a mitzvah. It's a chutz. It's my chutz. For you to use my shofar, great. I'm not here, I don't know about it, but I'm happy you could use my shofar, I'm happy you want to use my tefillin, my talis, my lulav, my esrog, go down the list, nicha inish lemevad mitzvah mamona. People actually want to use their money, their property, to have zechuyos of a mitzvah. Ubevadai, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's certain, hayav misrate v'rasha litkobo. It's certain that he'll be happy with it, and therefore you're allowed to blow the shofar kol mea kolos, not just the bare minimum of 30 kolos, but 100 kolos, all 100 that we prescribe to, one can, afa pi she'enu medina, even though mikra din one need not blow all 100 kolos, kevin she'nagu kein, since that's the practice throughout all of the shuls in the world and throughout all of history, kevin she'nagu kein, bevadai lo yimcha bazeh. So, there you have, black and white, Mishnah Berurah, you could borrow someone's shofar without having to ask. Now, the Truma suggestion. Truma suggestion, he asks a similar question in the context of Lulav and Esrog. Let's look at the Truma suggestion, who's one of the very important poskim of history. The Rama quotes him perhaps in every single page in Shulchan Aruch. The question is as follows. Number five. She'ela. Now, it was understood that the Truma Sadeshin, actually, he raised his own questions to himself. He wasn't sent questions, but he posed questions and he answered his own questions. So the questions as follows. Echad rotze leilech lederech b'chol hamoid b'sukkos. A guy wants to travel on chol hamoid sukkos. Ubaba shkam lebeis knesses levarech al halulav. So he woke up early to shake lulav. V'lamatza lulav v'esog shel tzibur. And he looked around. Back then, they didn't have, they only had communal lulavim and esrogim, were very expensive, hard to get to. So there's a tzibur lulav, a tzibur esrog. He wanted to shake it, but he couldn't find it. It was locked away somewhere. What he did find, however, the lulavim v'esrogim shel chaveroi matza. He found some other guy in the shul who had his own personal, a wealthy guy, let's say, had the wherewithal to buy his own personal lulav and esrog. So he wanted to know, yachol litlam ulavarech alem olam. Would one be able to use a lulav and esrog to be yotze the mitzvah? Or would that be a violation of stealing? So the Truma Sadeshin writes, Yira deshapir dami. It appears that it's okay to take it. Levarich al echad al sheyachidim, to take an individual's lulav and esrog. Why? Kevin the kai malam b'shar yomim barmi yom rishon, outside of the first day of Sukkot, your yotze b'sheula afil l'chachila. Only day one does it say ulakachtem lachem. You have to own the dal minim. But the rest of the days, we know you could use a borrowed lulav and esrog. Fine. But the Truma Sadeshin asks, but wait a second. If you read the bold now, vim tomar hach she'ela lo midasu, isn't this borrowing without permission? I can't just go into your house and, you know, take some eggs and plan to return the eggs back to you. I can't just go take and borrow a towel from your house. That's she'ela shelo midas. And the halacha, the Rif says, is she'ula shalom idas is nikra gazan. You're a gazan for borrowing without permission. So the Truma Sadeshin says, reading just the bold again, nira, the ki agavna, this particular case, again, nichale, le'inish le'mevad mitzvah b'mamona. A person is actually happy, like we saw above, that his property is being used for mitzvah. And he quotes a rush, kasav ashiri in the Gemara and called basar, the perek in chulin, you're also allowed to borrow your friend's talos without his permission, because the same concept, nichale le'inish le'kayim mitzvah b'mamon. A person is very happy to allow his property to be used for a mitzvah. He says, but wait a second. We do have a Gemara, actually, that says you're not supposed to use people's svarim, however. Svarim, a person shouldn't learn from them. So he says that by svarim it's different. If you look just the last few lines here, lo dami lehu in the bold, it's not similar to if a guy finds svarim, lo yilmad behem. Don't learn from a guy's svarim. V'lorim rinan nichale le'inish. Why don't we say, shouldn't a guy be happy to let me use his svarim, to let me use his siddur? Svarim is different. The shiny svarim. Why are svarim different? The metashtishim, they get ruined. U'miskalkigin, they get ruined, worn out. Kishalom nimbahem. As opposed to a talus and a luvan esrog, you wear it for a few minutes, you shake it for a few seconds, it's not going to ruin it, and therefore it's allowed. But if something's subject to get ruined, such as svarim, there the Truma Sadeshin says that's not allowed. So a shofar certainly does not get ruined. Of all the mitzvahs we mentioned, the shofar is probably the least likely to get ruined. It's so firm, strong, and therefore it would seem entirely permitted to use it. Now Moshe addressed an interesting question about using people's property for mitzvahs. What would you say about a woman using lulav and esrog? We know that women are certainly not chayv in lulav and esrog. It's a mitzvah asay shazman grama. But if they so please, they're allowed to certainly shake it. They could still get a mitzvah. They get a check mark. There's a machlok is whether they should say a bracha or not. Ashkenazim say that women recite a bracha on dal minim, on any mitzvah asay shazman grama, woman can recite a bracha, while svardim do not say bracha, but everybody agrees she could get a mitzvah. So do we say that she's allowed to go ahead and borrow her neighbor's lulav to shake it? There's no chiv there. So the Ramosha talks about this. Ramosha says, if you look at number 6 now, this is Or Chaim Chelek Beis Sim Kuvav. He says, if we read the paragraph, Mashin is topic here, Kavo Taraso, Be'isha Sheptur Mimitzas Lulav, that the person raised the question to Rav Moshe, a woman who's exempt from lulav, yet she's rotzei lekayim a mitzvah, she wants to fulfill the mitzvah. Im muteres nami litol lulav shel acher, Can't she use someone else's lulav? Shelo midaita, without permission in Shar Yamim, other days of Sukkot? Ulai, maybe the only reason why the Ramah allows you to use someone else's property of mutilito shelo midaita, the nichale le'inish le'mevet mitzvah b'mona, maybe that's only rak le'ish. Shemechui b'mitzvah, a man who's obligated in the mitzvah, lo be'isha she'ena mechuyevis, women are not chayiv. So maybe they don't have the heter of borrowing without permission. Rav Moshe writes very clearly, Nira Lanias Daiti, Rav Moshe writes, Shekevin shall kopanim yesh la mitzvah, since in the end of the day, women do get a mitzvah for shaking the lulav, v'yesh la schal zeh, she gets reward for doing so, she gets olam haba for doing so, gam kim b'chazaka zu, the chazaka of nichale le'inish, she'abdo b'mitzvah b'mamono. It seems that women, the chazaka, that people like the property used for mitzvah, would equally apply to women as well. And he brings a very interesting raya, because we saw above that the Chumash Hadeshin says you could borrow someone's talus based on the rush. You could borrow someone's talus. There is no obligation to wear talus during tefillah. There's no obligation. There's a minog, but there's no chiv. There's not even a chiv midrabanan to wear talus during tefillah. It's a minog tov. It's a very nice minog to wear so, and we should continue to follow in this minog, but there's no chiv for anyone. And yet, we still see from the Rishonim and from the Poskim, you're allowed to borrow a talus. So certainly, women who are who mekayim a mitzvah of lulav, if they so choose, certainly they'd be allowed to bow without permission, because the chazaka, the nichalei le'inish b'mamono, is certainly applicable. That's how he concludes. Fine. And based on this, that's exactly the svar the Mishnah Berurah says when it comes to blowing 100 kolos. We said above, there's no chiv to blow 100 kolos. There's a minok to blow 100 kolos. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you're allowed to go ahead and blow all 100 kolos, because the minog establishes something that we want to keep to, and a person is very happy to allow his property to be used, not only to perform a mitzvah deraisa, but even to perform a minog as well, the minog of wearing talus during davening, and the minog of blowing 100 kolos. So now, Rav Moshe writes, what happens in a case where a person's machpid, however? This is all under the assumption that people are not machpid. But what if a person were to be machpid? So Moshe writes, in commenting on a different topic, he throws in something interesting, that people are allowed to borrow other people's property, other people's talisim. He says, because people like when the property is used for mitzvah. But he says, it's not because most people like. You can't say rove people like. It's because everybody likes. What does that mean? There's a concept in halacha, ein hochem b'mamon achar rov. Right, when there's a machlokas, we don't go based on rov. We have to figure out what the truth is. So the fact that I could use your talis, that's a question of dine mamons, of using someone else's property. So ein hochem b'mamon achar rov, because most people allow me to use it, that's rov. But Moshe says it has to be where everybody allows it, where no one's machpid at all on the talisim being used. And that's what we're talking about. So Rav Moshe says, if a person's a machbid on their talis, they're not going to leave it in shul. They're going to take it home with them, make sure nobody takes it. By virtue of the fact that a person leaves his talis in shul, or his lulav and esog in shul, or his shofar in shul, where it's available for the public, that's a clear indicator that he's not machbid, and you're allowed to go ahead and use it without any concern at all. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes something very different. The Aruch HaShulchan says, this is the number 8 now. He says, Nir l'inias daiti, af shirabosenu pasku adin hazeh, even though the poskim paskin, dimistama mutter likach talis chavero, that it's safe to assume that you could borrow a friend's talis shalomi daiti without his permission, ulis palabo, and to daven with it. What's the reason? Mitam devadai, it's certain that nichale, a guy likes his property being used for mitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan makes an unfortunate comment. Mihu anan chazinan, we see in our time, the harbe makpidin bezeh ma'od. People are very makpid on people using their talesim and other properties for mitzvah. Ubifrat in particular, kisha talis hu chadosh, it's a brand new talis, v'naki and clean, v'gam yesh b'nei adam, they're people, she'ein sovlim klal, they can't handle she'odem acha yilbash beged shalahem, that they're going to wear his beged, my clothing, to take it. Mitam zeyav v'nikiyus, because it's going to get sweaty, it's going to get dirty, it's going to smell. So therefore, Aruch HaShulchan is not so sure whether this is shuv b'zman hazeh, because people are makpid. Now I would add further, by a shofar certainly, you put your mouth on it. Forgetting corona right now, you put your mouth on it. There's going to be a saliva in it. I think most people will be makbid on someone else's using their shofar without permission. So there's an interesting tshuva from Reb Zilberstein writes. He was talking about a situation where a person might be concerned of AIDS transferring, lo aleinu. So he says, if you know the guy's going to be makbid, so again, I don't know if AIDS are going to be transferred even through that. I don't know how these things work. I'm not a doctor. But let's just assume it's a real concern. So he says, if let's say you're able to, he doesn't know you have AIDS. The guy doesn't have AIDS, but the guy's just very nervous about getting any type of disease. So Rav Zilberstein says, if you're able to use the shofar and clean it with whatever, cleaning, whatever spray, and clean it really, really well, dry it off and clean it. So he says, then there's not so much a concern. But if you know for sure the guy is makbid on using his shofar, then as Aruch HaShulchan says, it would be prohibited to take his shofar without his permission. And I would add further, now with the corona, and even though at least in New York, I don't know what it's like in Florida, but in Woodmere Baruch Hashem, it's very, very low. It's almost non-existent, but there are some cases popping up here and there. It's almost non-existent, though. I would still say that people are makbid to wear masks in proper places, and certainly not to share the shofar. So I would imagine this would be a problem unless you have clear permission to use a shofar. One should not take shofar without permission, let alone this year, but even on any given year, people don't like to share germs. But Rav Zilberstein ends off his shuvah with an interesting comment. He does say that it's best for a person that they should try not to be makbid, nonetheless, because it's a tremendous zechus to allow a person to have the shofar, to use in Rosh Hashanah, to get the tshuva, to have your property to be used in such a way. It's something that a person should at least consider. And, as I was thinking about this, a couple of thoughts I had about the message from this particular halacha of allowing a shofar to be used. And that's 2 points. I'm going to break it down into two last messages, the last 10 minutes we have together. Number one is a person's general hakpada on his property. And number two, this year, shofar, Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, where there is no shofar. Just a nice message to take away. So I think one message is clear, that a person in general has to be less makbid on his property being used. I remember our neighbor, who just moved out a few months ago, they were very makbid on anyone parking in front of their house. Right? If like a family member came or a friend came, they didn't want them parking in front of their house. They wanted their house to be for their parking. And I get that. It was limited space. The driveways are tight here. So I get that. But there's a certain level of person being less makbid on their property, less makbid on their things. And, it has to do with a certain level of jealousy, a certain level of ownership that this is mine and that's yours, not willing to share with each other. I remember I read in the biography of Rav Scheinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that a person in Bnei Brak had asked for Scheinman the following shaila. He said, people in Bnei Brak don't have cars. They just don't need the cars. They don't have the money for the cars. And there was a person who was going into business, and he really needed a car for business, and he was able to Baruch Hashem afford a car. So he asked Rav Scheinman whether it was appropriate to buy a car, because he didn't want to bring about any jealousy that, Reuven has a car, but nobody else in the building has a car. So Rav Scheinman looks at him and says, let me ask you a question. Have you mastered Shas yet? So he says, no, I have not mastered Shas. He says, have you mastered any Masechta in Shas? He says, no, unfortunately, I have not mastered any Masechta. Have you mastered even one Perek? And he says, no, unfortunately, I have not mastered even one Perek. Rav Scheinman says, don't worry, nobody's going to be jealous of you. I mean, people are only jealous when it comes to Torah. Now, we are jealous by money as well, but we shouldn't be. He was teaching you the lesson, don't be jealous about a mamonis, about a car, about a house. In Bnei Brak, the only thing that we're jealous about in Bnei Brak is how much Torah you know, which is the good place of jealousy. We have to be not so makbid on our property. We have to be much more giving. Now, in this vein of not being so makbid on property and the importance of learning Torah, I saw an incredible maisa about the great Ridbaz. Not to be confused with the Radbaz, but the Ridbaz. The Ridbaz is a commentary on the Yushalmi. The Ritbaz, one time, he lived in Tzfas. He grew up somewhere in Europe. I don't remember which city, but he grew up in Europe, but he was living in Tzfas when he was older. And it was Shabbos, no, rather it was a mincha, it was a Tfilas mincha, and people came to the shul, and Ritbaz was up around, he was 80 years old or something at the time, and he was holding on to the shtender to daven. He had yartai that day for his father. So he was standing ready early to make sure he had the amud, so he could daven for the yartzeit. But he was crying, he was very overwhelmed, recalling the yartzeit. And he was crying, and he was crying. And it was the time for davening, and he wasn't starting, people were banging on the tables, and no. So someone walked up to him and said, Rebbe, why are you crying? Your father died already 40 years ago. And, it's been quite some time. He didn't die at a young age. He was a Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, he lived a nice long life. So what are you so emotional about? So the Ritbaz explained that when he was a young boy in Europe, so his father and mother, his parents, hired a special Rebbe, a special tutor to teach him to have advanced learning. And it was very expensive. It was like a ruble each week. And one time, his parents didn't have the money to pay. So 1 week passes, 2 weeks passes, and the Rebbe sent a message home to his parents, if you can't pay me, I can't continue to teach your son. I need to make money. So the parents were beside themselves. They weren't sure what to do. And they couldn't afford it. And his father made ovens. He made ovens, ovens not only meant for cooking, but also for heating the house. It was that's how they heated the house back then. And they didn't know what to do. And they davened and davened that they could figure out a way to pay for the Rebbe. And then he was davening in shul that afternoon. And a wealthy man came in, a big gvir came in, and his daughter and son-in-law just had gotten married. And unfortunately, there's a big shortage of ovens to heat the house. And he couldn't find any oven to heat the house. And he made a clap at the bima, and he said, anybody has any extra ovens? I'm willing to spend, pay 8 rubles for an oven for my daughter and son-in-law. Anybody willing to, anyone know a spare oven? So the Ritbaz's father goes home to his wife and they had the discussion. Next thing they're busy taking out their oven. And they sell the oven to this gvir for 8 ruble. And they advance the payment to the Rebbe, the Ritbaz's Rebbe, to pay for the weeks they missed and to advance the money for the upcoming weeks to ensure that they have money to pay for it. And that winter they spent without any oven. A cold winter, wherever it was in Europe, it was cold. And all because, just to ensure that the Ritbaz had a Rebbe to teach him. So Ritbaz says, I was walking across the street, it was cold out that day. I said, you know what, let me just daven mincha, in a local minyan, I don't need to schlep to the shul. And he says, wait a second, my parents spent a whole winter without any heat. I couldn't even cross the street, it's a little chilly in Tzfas, how cold can it get? And I wasn't. I had a habit of not to cross the street. I covered my father for his yard site. And that's why I'm crying. I'm remembering. I'm remembering the mesiras nefesh of my parents, what they did to put me through yeshiva, put me through to have this special Rebbe. So we're makpid on a parking spot. We're makpid on a talis, on a lulav. Okay, the shofar, I understand, that especially this year, fine. But other things we're makpid on. They gave up their entire oven, the heat for entire winter. And they were able to raise a great tzaddik, a posik like the Ritbaz. That's incredible. That's an incredible lesson we have to understand. There's another point I want to finish off with. I just saw this mamish seconds before I started the shir. We're talking about the borrowing of the shofar. And this year, we're not going to have shofar on Rosh Hashanah first day. Now, again, a completely different message, but I want to share with you because I just saw this. And at first glance, it's a little sad. We're excited for the shofar. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, there's no shofar. So, the Kedushas Levi, he writes an incredible thing. He writes that b'chol pam shechal Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos. Every single time that Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos, like this coming year, it's a Melech Tov Al Yisrael. It's an incredible, incredible Zuchos for Am Yisrael. Why? And we say, Ribono Shel Olam, Hashana tzarech atal l'chtoves kol yisrael l'chaim. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you must write all of us that we're going to have a life full of chaim this year. Kim lokein, if not, chalila, eina tara shai l'chtoves Shabbos klal. Right? You can't write on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he keeps the entire Torah. Kol HaTorah kula. So you can't write at Shabbos this year. How you write on Yom Tov, it's a different discussion. But Shabbos you can't write. Sharei Zerayu Chilul Shabbos. Aval, although you can't write L'mavis, but you can write L'chaim on Shabbos, Rashayatai L'chtov, you can write L'chaim this year, because that's Bikurach Nefesh. Bikurach Nefesh, any Isser overrides with Bikurach Nefesh, so the right to write L'mavis, that's Usser. But to write L'chaim, Bikurach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. And the Berditchever explained, that's what the Mishnah means in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it says, Yom Tov She Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So, when is Rosh Hashanah Yontif, he says? When is the Yontif? It's a Yontif Rosh Hashanah, Dafka went Shechal on Shabbos, because when Shechal on Shabbos, Kodesh Baruch Hu can't write L'mavis, he can only write L'chaim. So it's an incredible mail, it's an incredible Zechus for us this year. So we shouldn't be saddened that there's no shofar. We should be elated. We should be excited that there's no shofar. So we should learn two messages from this discussion. Number one is that we shouldn't be makbid on things. Remember the Ribaz's father. So yes, by the shofar we said, okay, you shouldn't borrow the shofar this year. The corona, even without the corona, don't borrow the shofar. But by all other matters of mitzvahs, even non-mitzvahs, about a parking spot, small things like that, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's rule, not our rule. We shouldn't be makbid on these things. The only thing to be jealous about is jealous about the guy who knows Shas Kol, not about the guy who has a car or drives a fancy car. And number two is that this year is going to be an incredible zechus for us. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're taught, is not allowed to write L'mavis this year. He could only write L'chaim. So we should be zocha to have a year of Chaim Aruchim, Chaim Tovim. Mirta Hashem, I'll see you guys next week. Have a wonderful day, wonderful evening.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you very much,
Rabbi Levin. My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm here. We are moving to the BRS.